we're back. Michael, are you there?
Yes, and I think you have David also.
Oh, great. Welcome, David.
Hey, Rebecca. Hey, Michael. My apologies. I couldn't seem to get through on one of the lines.
Persevered. So
I'm here now.
I was just introducing you as one of the Zen Awareness coaches and to talk about a new offering that the coaches are putting out there, and especially in line with our theme of upping our game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to take it from there and describe what it is?
Yeah, why don't I throw a few things out and we'll just go from there. So it's very exciting. It's a new offering, as you said, and it is still Zen Awareness coaching, but the difference this time is that it's group coaching as opposed to individual one-on-one coaching. And so, as you mentioned, it's actually in support of the Upping Your Game this year. So a lot of the kind of themes that we'll have will kind of revolve around some of the bigger picture of the year. And let's see, so how to describe it. So it's pretty fun. It's very much like the individual coaching in the sense that it will be kind of a weekly support call, a weekly call to check in. And we'll focus on a specific topic, and just, you know, for example, there's two that are coming up right now. The first one is going to be around the Colorado cleanse, and so that will be the topic, and there's one on walking as well, walking with the mentor, and so there'll be these various topics, and if folks are kind of interested in that particular topic and they want support with that, then, you know, you can sign up for it. And usually, I think we're going to have a run for about 4 to 6 weeks each kind of session, if you will. And I'm kind of struggling for what else to say about it, but it's a really fun opportunity to basically, the way I see it is, it's basically just one more opportunity to receive support this year for your practice and specifically for though not exclusively for, but specifically for kind of your Upping Your Game plan for the year.
Yeah, so it's like a short-term commitment to a particular focus. And so the ones coming up are starting soon, I think next month, there's the Colorado cleanse. So if you wanted to do the cleanse, but it's a little intimidating, or you just haven't ever done one before, or you just want the extra support, you can sign up. And you'll be joining in with a group of others who are doing the same thing. So for those few weeks, you'll have the support call and extra support from a coach to see, you know, basically what your process is around the cleanse. And like the other one you said coming up is around it's called walking with the mentor. And so people who are interested in sort of, I don't know, is that like walking meditation or how would you do that one?
Yeah, there's a lot. I actually want to sign up for that one. It's really fun. it's really, you know, it's in support of a number of things. You know, with all of this, I think it's really important for us to say right up front that there is the recording and listening element. You know, so with all of these things, there is that kind of focus going on. With the walking one, you know, my understanding is that there's a number of different opportunities with that, and that is it's a place to kind of develop and deepen the relationship with the mentor. You know, it's called walking with the mentor. It's a way to actually bring attention to kind of health and fitness. And, you know, if somebody has a goal for the year for their health or their fitness program, you know, that's right in there with it. Recording and listening is part of it. And just, you know, it's kind of all of that. And my sense is that, you know, even though it's like for this one, walking is the topic. And the one you had just mentioned, the Colorado cleanse, that's the topic. It's those are the kind of focus. But for all of it, it's just such great practice for our great support for our practice in general.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm trying to remember how the idea of group coaching started among the coaches. And I kind of remember that it was the coaches wanting to up their game and do a fundraiser for an extra, take something on to support the Africa work or something like that. But it's really, you know, maybe you can say more about this, but it's really the coaches contribution or you know, manifestation of their of wanting to up their game.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way I understood it as well. And you know, we did. We had some, you know, offerings in the fall. I think there was a Colorado cleanse that was offered, and a specific that I was fortunate enough to be a part of, a specific group coaching around fundraising for Africa. And kind of the donations that came in from that were given directly to the Africa program. So it was inspired by, you know, the coaches, you know, kind of getting together and recognizing, well, you know, what's possible for us to kind of up our game and at the same time make it an offering and support Sangha. And it just kind of evolved very naturally, and kind of this is where we've gotten to with it.
So it's sort of like, it sounds like it's sort of the blending of these wonderful elements of practice, recording and listening, supportive sangha, one-on-one coaching, because even though we do the support calls in groups, we do an individual email check-in each week, and so you do get feedback directly from the coach, you know, email. And so, and all of those sort of around a topic that supports practice, either health and fitness or, you know, various other things that are coming down the pike.
Yeah.
So it's really a wonderful combination of ways that people can support their practice in a fun, and again, it's a short term. It's like 4 to 6 weeks at the most.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, just a way to sort of give it that little burst of energy.
Yeah, as you were saying, there's a couple of other things that were just arising for me. And, you know, one is that there's a dynamic to kind of being in the group like that. You know, it's that Sangha experience. And, you know, when you said that there still is an individual coaching element to it, that's so true in the sense that there is the, you know, the check-in and with the coach in the middle of the week through the email. But there's also, because our goal was to keep the groups small enough that on every call, everybody who's on the call will have a chance to participate and speak about what they're seeing. So it's a little different than, say, like an RLV call where, you know, there might be a lot of people on that call. And so on any given support call, you know, I may or may not get a chance to kind of jump in and kind of speak about what I'm looking at. But in this, the group coaching, there is actually individual coaching for everybody who participates. On each call will have a chance to kind of jump in and talk about what they're seeing and stuff like that. So there's just something about that that I think is really, really exciting.
That's an excellent point. You know, sometimes we refer to group coaching as a group of one. I mean, we talk about coaching as a group of one. And so this is like a group of maybe 4 to 6 or, you know, 5 to 8 or something like that.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, having gone through it, you know, myself and been fortunate enough, as I said, to participate in the fall and something like this, it the dynamic that I think I'm pointing out that's so special is that it does feel like a one-on-one coaching thing to an extent, but then there is that place where, you know, it's the same topic. Everybody has their own process, but when each person, you know, brings what they do to the table, it kind of just inspires everybody else, and there's just, you know, it's the classic Sangha experience.
Yeah, it really is. So how do people sign up? What do they do if they're interested?
Excellent. Yeah. Well, this is really good timing. We just got an ad up on Sangha Market. And so if folks want to go to sanghamarket.com, either directly or through the Living Compassion website, you can navigate there. And there, it's in the services section, and it's called Zen Awareness Group Coaching. And there's that wonderful little drawing of the monk with the arms open wide, welcoming everybody. So that would be a way to kind of get a brief description of it and find out kind of cost and some of the logistics and to look for actual specific offerings, like the Colorado Cleanse is already up there and that has the dates and the cost. And then if one wants to sign up for that, the email address, which is also in the ad, but I'll say it anyway, is groupcoaching@livingcompassion.org. So you just, you'd send in your interest to groupcoaching@livingcompassion.org. That email would be forwarded to the coach who's going to be making that offer. So it's pretty straightforward.
So if somebody is interested in either the group coaching, which is from April 1st to the 14th, or the walking with the mentor group coaching opportunity, which is also in early April, then they send an email expressing that to groupcoaching@livingcompassion.org. That's group coaching, all one word. And they can find all of this information on Sangha Market.
Absolutely. Yep. That's absolutely correct. Colorado Cleanse, the 1st to the 14th, I believe, of April. And then the walking is, I think that's starting on like the 2nd to the 23rd. But, all the information will be up on the website at, or on Sangha Market. And that's absolutely right. Send interest to group coaching, all one word, at livingcompassion.org.
All right. Well, great. Is there anything else, David, that we might want to mention before we pass it over to Michael?
You know, I don't think so. I think that kind of says it all. It's a super exciting program, and I really hope folks take advantage of it and, you know, just really jump in, because it's just one extra support for a great year of upping our game.
Yeah. Oh, and one other thing that just dropped in for me is to keep watching on Sangha Market, because there are a lot of different topics coming down throughout the year. So, and we'll do our best to get the word out about them as well. But that's so more surprises to come.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's a great point, that we'll be putting up more offerings as they come about. So to keep checking back.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on, David.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Rebecca. It was a pleasure.
Take care.
Bye now.
All right. So, Michael, we'll hand it over to you. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, David. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
You know, I am speechless with the depth and number of offerings to wake up.
Crazy, isn't it?
Suffering. I mean, there's only 24 hours in the day, right? How am I going to fit in all of that?
Yeah.
And that's not to mention the ones that, you know, have been announced but haven't rolled out yet.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I mean, it's off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lakota, I think it was, who a week ago or 2 weeks ago or something like that, was talking about the transformational results of immersing ourselves in practice.
Yes.
Of taking advantage of all of the things that are being offered. And of course, conditioning just screams bloody murder. But there isn't any reason that we can't have all day, every day, focused on practice. And of course, this coaching program in general, this one, as with, you know, individual, so with group, but it adds the element of accountability, which I think all of us struggle with. You know, we're very excited and enthusiastic, and we want to do this thing, and then time goes by, and we kind of get talked out of, we get busy, we forget, whatever it is. And so with the coaching, the coach can help if I want to do the walking thing, which I'm really enthusiastic about, because as was mentioned, this is going to be the physical aspect of this is going to be big this year. So I'm hoping everybody is going to set some kind of fitness goal. And then the coach helps with that. It just gets us into a routine of staying with it and having the support of others and that sort of thing. And after even 4 weeks, I'm going to have a different relationship with my commitment. And of course, I would imagine it's possible if people wanted to go on longer, negotiate with the coach and keep it going, as many, many people do with individual coaching. You know, they sign up for a session of 6 weeks and then another and another and another and another. And some of them have been, you know, going on with coaching for 7 or 8 weeks or however long the program has been established. So, 7 or 8 sessions. So that'd be 42 weeks, wouldn't it? Or 56 or whatever, wherever my math fails.
Yes.
But having that support and accountability just makes all the difference in the world.
Yes, indeed. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
In fact, In fact, one of the things that I will tell you that I have people are familiar with the 10,000 steps a day. You know,
yes.
Supposedly, 10,000 steps a day is, which for me works out to be about 5 miles a day. And that's a goal of mine. Whatever else I do, if I play tennis or if I bike or if I ride my trike or whatever I might be into, in addition to that, it's getting those 10,000 steps in every day. And so to get into that kind of habit and make it a lifelong habit, coaching can really help.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's fabulous, all the support. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to fail.
Right. Well, yeah, that's really true, Michael, isn't it? If we stay connected in that way, if we continue to take advantage of the offerings, it is impossible to fail. It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. I have announcements here.
All right.
Sign up now for the Eightfold Path Retreat in North Carolina, April 15th through 20th. Or at the monastery, May 26th through 31st.
Yes. This is part of our new take practice on the road. Get closer to people on whichever coast people are practicing on.
Yes. And this is the newest retreat, and
mm-hmm.
it explores the application of the Buddha's eight-part path to freedom in our daily lives.
Yes.
And if you enjoy the ongoing practice reminder tweets, then please participate in generating them by sending in your favorite mentor sayings, reassurances, inspirations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been noticing as they come through, there'll be a link fairly regularly with a tweet request. And you just click on that link and you can type in some of your favorites.
Mm-hmm. Such a help. And, you know, that's that kind of thing is such a great way to participate. So I'm doing that program. I'm receiving the tweets, and I start thinking kind of in terms of the tweets. You know,
yeah.
Just as I go around in life, or I read something, and so I can now send that in, and it is such a support for the people who are doing the program, who are offering the program, because you can imagine, you know. Coming up with those things at that rate, you know, week after week after week, it's a lot.
And 24 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah. When people pitch in like that, it's just a tremendous help.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. And finally, don't delay. Registration for Reflective Listening Buddies is now open for the quarter that begins on April 15th. Registration closes on April 1st at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, and you can check out the Living Compassion website for information about this wonderful Sangha program.
Mm.
So all of this is at schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Well, and I'd like to put in a plug for if you're somewhere in California or in the Bay Area especially, come and spend a day with me the end of March, whatever that Saturday is.
Yes, I think it's March 29th.
All right.
I will be there.
Good.
Yes. And some reminders for today. Our call-in number is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. And then you can enter your PIN followed by pound. And about 5 minutes, please. And if you can focus on one topic, that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
here we go.
Further ado, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris.
Hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm back. I'm doing pretty well.
Good to have you back.
Thank you. You know, we had the month at the monastery last year. In fact, it was this month. And I don't know, I had the wool pulled over my eyes pretty much almost as soon as I got home, and then practices really faded away, and then things got really horrible this fall and winter. And I really, I don't know if a phrase "I've suffered enough" is correct at this time, or all I know is that I'm really getting back to it, and I don't want to leave it this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course the voices want to beat us up for that kind of thing, as they want to beat us up for every kind of thing. But sometimes it's just really helpful to fall for that kind of thing and see what happens as a result of it to develop the kind of resolve that you clearly have at this point.
Yeah. I thought about that, and it's like that there is a temptation to go in, you know, woe is me over all this time lost kind of a thing. But I'm pretty much able to stay out of that.
Yeah, yeah. There's no sense in wasting more time on it.
Yeah, no kidding. and then last week, I had my first Zen Awareness coaching call last week, and that was really great. And I got another one tomorrow.
Good, good. It's helpful, isn't it, to have that?
It is. It is really helpful.
External support.
Yes. Yeah, that's something I really need.
Oh, yeah, we all do, Chris. We all do. We all do. Even, as far as we can tell, the Buddha did, which is why he was so encouraging of Sangha, right? We can't do it alone. It's just that conditioning, that karma, is just more than we can do. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah, gosh, I'm not even sure. I've been avoiding thinking about this call today, and I hadn't planned anything. I'm just, I don't know, kind of just checking in and reconnecting.
Which is plenty, isn't it? Sometimes it's enough just to say, I'm here, and actually celebrate the fact that I'm here.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I think it's been like a sort of rough winter, but it's been so refreshing to get back. And I was reminded of a metaphor that I like, which is when I think I'm underwater, really I'm just kind of like face down in the water, and it's only a matter of flipping over. It's not like I'm 20 feet under. And as soon as I really started getting back to it, I had that experience again, and that was really helpful.
Yeah, you just flip over and float.
Yes, float.
Uh-huh.
And so now it's just been good to get back to, you know, listening to the radio show during the day on the archive at work, and then meditation practice, recording and listening also. So, yeah, I know there's lots of supports out there, and I'm trying to avail myself of as many as I can, and I'm trying to keep on adding more.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So every time we realize there's something in our day that isn't working, then we can add the practice support that's going to turn that around. Yeah?
Yes.
And with with this sangha, as was indicated, we've kind of got something for every situation. So we're closing conditioning off at the pass. Cutting off? Closing off. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or cutting off, isn't it?
Yeah, cutting them off. Path. That's right. That's right. Here I am from the Wild West and forgot one like that. Yeah.
Well, you know, it happens.
Oh,
I've seen lots
no.
of Wild
you
West
know what it
movies,
is, Chris?
So what?
Chris,
what?
It's heading
yes.
them off at the pass.
Heading. What did you say?
Heading
them off yes.
the path. That sounds better yet, doesn't it?
It does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Okay. Glad we got that sorted out. All right. Anyway, it's great to hear your voice. Glad you're back.
Good to be back.
Glad the winter is over and practice is here.
Yes. I'll be in touch more frequently.
Okay, great. I'll look forward to it. Thanks,
great.
Chris.
Thank
Good
you.
Night.
Thanks, bye-bye. Good night. Bye, Mike.
Good night. Thank you for joining us, Chris. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Julianne.
Hey, Julianne, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. What's going on?
Good. Well, I first just want to say thank you so much for everything that you do, and thank you to Michael, and how much I love and respect our Sangha and everyone, all the monks, everyone. And just thank you so much. This practice is amazing.
It's a good tribe, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's an amazing tribe. Yes. I'm very, yeah, blessed and happy to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
And I wanted to try to keep calling on a more regular basis. There's so many things that are just, I'm getting on a deeper level. It's really exciting. But something that was kind of just fun that happened to me recently, I was listening to the archives, and I kind of put two things that people said together into one. And one was from the book that Jen wrote. She was explaining how one of the suggestions was to look in the mirror and say, "You rock." And I was like, "Oh, gosh, you know, that'll never work." But I was actually having a really hard day. And then there was another caller who had said something about, you were talking about kind of a nuance of disidentification and basically caring for yourself as if it were another person or a best friend. And and so I was just having a really, really tough day, like definitely under conditioning script. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to give this a try. I'm going to go tell myself, "You rock," in the mirror. And so I went into the bathroom, and I go, "You rock." And I was looking at myself, and then I just kept going with it. You know, that once you kind of get started, it gets a little easier, that first foot forward.
Uh-huh.
And my mentor started talking to me in the mirror while I was looking at, like, I'm looking at myself. But I disidentified while I was looking at myself, and I looked horrible. Like, I was not, like, you know, it was not, like, I wouldn't have normally wanted really to look at. I just, it was like one of those bad days.
You were not your most attractive self.
No.
Uh-huh.
But despite that, I was looking at myself as though I were another person, and I liked that person, and I loved that person was so appealing and was so lovable and so attractive, and I wanted to be with that person, and I wanted to spend more time with that person, and it was someone who I would, and that person told me, you know, was even talking about, I can get very obsessive about the way that I look, and there's this belief that there's a belief that if I don't look a certain way, I'm not likable or worth anything to other people, mm-hmm. or me or whatever. And so that person in the mirror was telling me, "See, look, I have blemishes. Don't worry about yours. Look, I've got them. They don't bother me." And I was like, "No, you don't actually look that." But it was just like seriously. Two different people, and it was just crazy because I was like talking to myself in the mirror, but I could just see from a really objective point of view things that are normally not. Yeah, it was just very interesting.
So, well, it is interesting, and it points at something, a real con job that most of us have fallen for, because you weren't talking to yourself. You weren't one person, right?
Right.
Yeah. And that was what the experience was, and that's what made it so remarkable, that you could actually disidentify from that person in the mirror, see her somewhat objectively, realize who she is, and that you like her. So it's kind of moving into the conscious compassionate awareness that animates and seeing that human being.
Yeah.
And feeling that love and appreciation and affection and,
yeah.
It's something, and here's the bottom line of what I think we're both getting at.
Mm-hmm.
ego identity is never going to do that.
No.
Yeah. So having that experience of the mentor or conscious compassion awareness in relationship with the human being, having ego identity completely out of the picture changes everything.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It does. It was just a great illustration of that Kanjab, right? And and it just was so healing. It was just so... I've had other experiences in other ways of that, but it was just so... It was neat. I really felt like, wow, I'm lovable.
You know, I bet there are a lot of other people who could have told you that, but it just isn't the same as when you get it for yourself, is it?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, before we go, will you give a commercial for the book that you were reading that you got that quote out of?
You know
what? The book that was mentioned?
Yes, I want to get that book. I haven't gotten it yet, and it's on my...
Oh, you don't get it.
No, I heard the commercial, the very, very first commercial that ever was made, and she mentioned that that was one of, you know, Jen was interviewing Jen about
Jen was,
that interview, and so I want to get the book. It sounds awesome, and it's at the top of my to-get-myself list when I have some extra money to do so.
All right, do you remember the name?
I don't remember the name. But I know that it's on Sangha Market.
Yeah, I was hoping you did. I know it's about joy, but I can't remember what it's a.
Yeah.
It's a great title, and the book is on joy.
I know you're right.
So as you say, if you go to Sangha Market and look for that book on joy, then there it's going to
mm-hmm.
be, and it is. I have it on my shelf, and I see the title all the time, and it escapes me. So
yeah,
we'll find out anyway.
Yes, so
yes, we'll
everybody go get that book because that suggestion alone is worth it.
Yes, exactly. All right.
Well,
thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Good night.
Bye-bye. All right. Good night. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Julianne. You're listening to Open Air. And I do know the name of that book, Sherry.
Oh, good man.
It's called Bring on the Joy Now.
Bring on the Joy. Right. Bring on the Joy.
Yep, bring on the joy now.
Now. All right. Good.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's very fun and insightful and helpful and practice supportive.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of practice supportive, we're going to hear from our coaches program now, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Gabriel.
Hey, Gabriel. How
are
you doing?
I'm doing great. I started the coaching last week, and it was really fun. I also went to Jen's workshop a couple of weeks ago. So it was,
I heard that was a good time, too.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Good.
So I want to... Huh? Say again?
Getting both feet wet.
Yes, getting both. Hopefully everything wet.
Good.
Yeah. So I want to follow up on those things, and I want to sort of, I don't know if I'm asking a question or saying something, but I'm realizing lately that I don't know where to put my attention. I don't know, like, what's important. It's like I've been so busy being unconsciously focusing on things that are, I guess, not very important, that I'm sort of like trying to find what to focus on. Does that make any sense?
Oh, makes total sense. And so it's, in my experience, it's a growing sort of deal. So when we first start out with that endeavor, then, you know, it's fascinating just to be aware of attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
To recognize attention and what attention is doing and sort of where it's going. And it is true that probably the easiest, most constant, ever-present thing to focus on is the breath. And so my encouragement is every time you can, and, you know, you've been around long enough to know that we just have thousands of little tricks and techniques and tools to focus on. So, for instance, you can start out the day and you're going to, every time you see the color red, you're going to bring your attention back to the breath. Take a full conscious breath and then just go on about your life. Or every time you hear a phone ring, or every time, whatever it is. And you begin to
train yourself. Well, I've already started that, yeah.
You have started that?
Well, I have this practice. I set an alarm every 3 hours, and then I listen to a little recording that I made, you know, reminding myself to sort of like come back to here and now. But I have a feeling that a big reason why I'm not more constantly here and now is because obviously there's a habit of going into, you know, the head and thinking and thinking and thinking. So I think that what will help a lot is to actually know what the alternative to doing that is. And it's not as easy as it seems.
That's actually what I'm telling you. So every 3 hours, I mean, that's, you know, I don't know what to compare
it to. I'm just starting
out. Yeah, well, but what I'm saying is that's 3 hours of unconsciousness versus 3 minutes of presence. So what you want to start doing is training yourself to look for attention. So, you know, you get up in the morning. Do you do recording and listening?
Yeah.
Okay. So you could get up in the morning, and a morning recording is really helpful, where you just simply remind yourself of everything that's important to you in your life. But then, so tomorrow morning, you're going to focus on your feet, okay? And every time you become aware of your feet, that's going to remind you to stop, come back to the breath, take a long, full, conscious breath. You can look around, you know, be aware of what you see, the colors and textures. As you're taking that breath, are there any smells in the air, and what are you hearing, and is there a breeze or sunshine or rain, or, you know, what's everything around you? And then you just go on, right? So then you just go on to the next thing. But something is going to remind you to be aware of your feet. So you stand up and you feel your feet on the ground. Or every time you know, a good one to start out with is every time you go into a restroom. Then you can progress to every time you walk through a doorway, every time. And so it's an every time. And what you're building is this repertoire of things that cause you to come back to your body, back to the breath, back to where you are. And in a surprisingly short period of time, the attention and awareness will catch on to this and begin to spontaneously remind you to come back to your body, come back to your breath, that sort of thing. So you're going to start spending more and more time in conscious awareness. Now, that's not going to mean that the system that's been distracting you, getting you up into your head to noodle about whatever, isn't going to absolutely up its game as well. But that's okay, because as you're becoming more present and more consciously aware, you're going to be more aware of what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is doing to try to distract you. Yeah? So that's basically how awareness practice grows. And it really is a moment-by-moment-by-moment affair.
Mm-hmm. And where does trying to get your life together, paying your bills on time, taking care of things, practical things in life, part of the story of the ego is that if I don't keep worrying or thinking, then I won't be able to take care of that. And when I hear you say that, to every time I go in a restroom and every time I see the color red and all that, in my heart, I know that that's going to help me be better at taking care of my life. But
Gabriel, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. You're not able to do it. You're not able to take care of your life because ego is distracting you.
Yeah.
Every time you're present, life has the opportunity to drop in to your conscious awareness what you need to be doing now.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So if you combine that with, you know, some of it is just almost a time management sort of deal. So you wake up in the morning, you realize what the date is. If you have a calendar, you check the calendar and you realize, all right, today I need to. And you make a little list of things that you need to do. And then you record that. And you listen to that recording two or three times during the day until you have done the things on that list. Then you make a little recording about how successful you are, what a great human being you are, and those kinds of things. Okay? And you're training yourself. You're training yourself to remember, to stay present, to stay focused, to be here where life is actually happening. So the bottom line is it's a lie that ego helps us to do things. Ego is actually doing its best to sabotage us all the time. The proof of that is if what it was doing worked, we wouldn't continue to have the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very, very clear. I guess that intellectually I'm trying to understand how trying to come back into the present will help me with my life things that I have to do, like paying rent and things like that, or paying bills. Like, it feels like, how can I be present and at the same time be thinking of, you know, paying my phone bill or getting gas?
I can tell you exactly how. Because the intelligence that is holding all of that, the intelligence that is also animating you, that is fueling your mind, what you think of as your mind, is doing all of that. So my favorite way of describing this is I'm getting ready to go somewhere. And because I don't think, I've lost all ability to think, as a matter of fact, if it ever became important, I would be sunk, but I don't think it's ever going to be. So I'm going around my life, okay, which means, and it's being in the body and aware of the body, aware of the body moving, where my feet are, where my hands are, what, okay, and life, intelligence, however we want to talk about that, is constantly dropping in this, that. You need to take that. That's in the garage. Be sure and put that in the car. Remember that. The black sweater, the extra shoes, okay? And it actually has a packing list for me, which it is giving to me. and I can receive it because I'm not doing anything else. So when I go out, if I need to put gas in the car, that intelligence is going to drop in when I get in the vicinity of the gas station at the time when it would work to put gas in the car. And it's,
Go ahead. I project that that's what someone means when they tell me, someone that I trust a lot, doing the next obvious thing.
Yes. Yes, and it's obvious because life has just told you to do it. It's not the next obvious thing because a voice in your head is telling you it's the next obvious thing. And here's the profound difference in the two orientations to life. Ego is really invested in your failure and suffering, as we've noticed, right? The intelligence that animates you is invested in animating you perfectly. Not that there's really an investment, but, just to make the sentences parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So life has no interest in screwing you up. And so it's not going to tell you you need to get gas when you don't. Or it's not going to tell you you need to get gas and then have you walk off without your wallet. It's never going to do that.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. This is just so helpful. I wish I was taught this in school.
Okay. No kidding. God, starting in kindergarten. But here's the other thing about it, okay? Don't let the system talk you into being impatient. Let it be like falling in love. Let it be like moving to the most marvelous place on the planet and discovering it little bit by little bit and savoring and appreciating each discovery. Don't let conditioned mind put you in a place of greediness because you should be going faster or get this quicker or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just savor the process.
Like being born again.
Yes, yes. And the beauty of savoring the process is then in every moment, you get to have the life that karmic conditioning is telling you you'll get to have after you're fully enlightened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Take good care of yourself, huh?
Okay, I will do that. You do that
all
too.
Right. I will.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Gabriel. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Gabriel. That was a fun conversation, Sherry.
Yeah. Well, practice. I heard myself say some of those things and really loved them.
Yes.
That savoring it, not falling for that, I need to go faster or I should have learned this before or if only this were different or whatever, that's throwing us back into the same system. But really just tasting every delicious moment of life, knowing that that's all we're ever going to get is tasting every delicious moment of life.
Every strawberry.
Every strawberry along the way. Yes.
Yes, that's great. That's great. Let's hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk to more people.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from California.
Hey, Laura.
Hello.
What's going on?
Well, the first thing I wanted to do was put in a plug for the group coaching for the Colorado Cleanse, which I think I did one of the inaugural ones. It was very supportive, so wanted to
did you
that.
Just say that you just did that?
No, I did it back in the summer.
Oh, back in the summer. Okay, because I know a group just went through it. So, and it is a good way to do it, isn't it? Yeah.
I did too.
I had others going through it at the same time, and it's good. I mean, it's a wonderful. I think you think it's a wonderful thing for a person to do for themselves.
Yeah, definitely.
And yet, left to ourselves, there we get out there in the middle of it, and there are places that aren't that much fun, perhaps. And it is good to know that others are going through it and say, "Is anybody else having this experience?"
Yeah. So, yeah, I remember one of my recordings from that time was, if it wasn't for the coaching, I don't think I ever would have done that. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So many things are like that. You know?
Yeah.
If we didn't have the support of Sangha, we just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very true. So what's going on tonight?
Today I'm homesick with a cold. And before the call, I also have chronic joint pain, and so having a cold and not being able to move plus that can be not very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And so was having the pain flare up, and so it was just kind of noticing some of those same old stories in my head, you know, the same suffering places that conditioning wants to go. And noticing that it's more difficult to enjoy the moments of life when it's pain something else.
Well, and I know you know this, but I can't not say it anyway. There's being in pain. There's I'm the one who is in pain. That's one life experience. And I'm somebody who is here offering unconditional love and support to someone who is in pain. Makes it a very different experience. Is that true for you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen it that way, but yeah, and I think as I was saying it, I was realizing it's really the experience that I was having was being in pain and having conditioning there and conditioning putting its spin on it and its stories.
That's really awful. And it's really awful even if we're not in pain.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, having those voices take over our lives and devote themselves to making us miserable is a terrible, horrible thing. Throw in pain and sickness, and it gets really awful. But when we step back, and what we're there for is to embrace that human being who's having that experience, in this case, to take care of her, and listen to her, and talk to her, and encourage her and support her and tell her how brave and good and strong she is because she is, then we move into a place of unconditional love and acceptance, and that's our experience rather than being focused on the pain and the sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think one of the big places that, and this is what I was noticing tonight, was one of the big places that conditioning tries to get me, you know, focused off of caring for the body and just being there with it is telling me all the reasons why it's happening and what I should be doing about it, and you know, because I don't really have clarity about, you know, why it's happening or what I should do about it, so it just likes to run on a big hamster wheel of, you know,
yes,
current theory
as
about what's going on,
as if it knew. You know, one of the simple kinds of things that we can do that I find very helpful is, so that information comes through. This is happening because of blah, 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 and what you need to do. And to just say, now, how do you know that?
Mm.
How do you know that? What is your evidence of that? What is your proof that that is so? Because you know if somebody on the street, you have a cold and you have this pain and somebody said, well, that's because you're blah 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 blah. I mean, truly, you would want to know where did you get off saying something like that? What makes you an expert on me and my life? And yet, when it's a hateful voice in the head, we forget to ask to see those credentials.
Yeah, and that seems very helpful, because I was just, as you were saying that, I was thinking back to like the last doctor's appointment I had, where the doctor that I was seeing was just kind of in that place of like, yeah, I really don't know what this is, and really thinking it through, you know, and it was really helpful to, I mean, I was grateful in that moment to see him being, I don't really know what this is, because there are many doctors who will not, you know, talk about that or, you know, and that, but just seeing like, yeah, there are plenty of smart people who have looked at this and don't know. And so.
That's right. Who spent a lot of time being educated. Yeah. And so then beyond that, I mean, sometimes it's just helpful to assert ourselves and stand up to it and say, you know, you're full of it and I don't need to listen to you. And then beyond that, our job is to choose compassion no matter what. So whatever the cause of it, whatever, doesn't, I mean, you know, you decided to hug somebody who was coughing and sneezing and you got a cold. Okay. Then the voices, of course, would want to tell you how stupid that was and how it's your fault. And is that irrelevant? Because all that's required of us is that we choose compassion in every moment, no matter how stupid what we did is. And sometimes we do things that, you know, we could see that someone might call those less than brilliant. It doesn't matter.
And I can see that the sort of that whole process of running on the hamster wheel of what is this, what should I be doing, kind of keeps me from actually being able to get that information from life and being able,
yes.
You know, because it uses the ideas that come in against me to be like, it must be that, it must be that, it must be that. And then by the time I'm so sick of thinking about it, I don't want to think about it at all.
But that's right. And, even other people outside of places like Zen practice have done studies that show that having a barrage of negative, my fingers are making little quotes, negative information coming at us tends to weaken the immune system. So, you know, what is its point? And it becomes obvious that its point is nothing other than making you feel bad, because what it's doing to you is weakening your immune system. You become depressed and defeated and that sort of thing. That's not going to help you get better. And so, this is where recording and listening really shines. First of all, you know, you do the super cure and you get all your best and favorite recordings. You put the things around you that make you feel better, you know, nice soft things for your nose and lozenges if you have a sore throat or whatever it is. You drink lots of water and you listen to recordings made by somebody who loves you unconditionally and really wants the best for you. And just as negativity depresses your immune system, all of that goodness coming your way increases, benefits, bolsters your immune system. Yeah.
Yeah, and I have been trying to do some Huber tour stuff, but I think conditioning had sprinkled stupid dust on the recording part of it. Because I found that really helpful in the past, but I haven't been doing it this time around. So.
Well, you get that out. Get that out.
Yeah.
And then, again, just nonstop loving kindness, compassion, care, sensitivity, generosity, all of those things that make us feel good all the things that make us feel good help us be well. Okay.
All
and then
right.
You'll let me know, right?
Thank you. I will.
Okay. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara here in Australia.
Well,
hi.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. Look, I'm a lot better for having been lying on my bed for the last hour or so listening to open air. It's really helped me to disidentify somewhat.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah,
always
I identified
you, isn't it?
Yeah. Identified a lot with the last caller. I've been pretty up against it, really, with, just, you know, for a while, for maybe 5 or 6 weeks with sort of my health getting worse and, just really, really struggling with conditioning, taking hold of it and creating a lot of suffering on top of, you know, top of what's already challenging.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Making it worse and worse and worse. And... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I read something this morning that I'd written that that I don't know. I just saw it in my journal, and it's I must have written it after hearing you say it, or maybe on open air or something. But it was because my theme for the year was around, you know, trusting life and trusting life's guidance, and that gets really challenging for me when things get really bad, you know, when things like my body starts to fall apart again, and so what I read was trusting yourself and things going well have nothing to do with each other.
Yes.
Are not connected. They're two different processes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that
is. And that was good to read because that's the bit that gets so close up together. It's like when things like this happen and, you know, I can sort of look back and see what might have led to it or whatever, but, you know, I'm just a human being. I can't always get it right. And the consequences can be pretty big. And conditioning really wants to take me to that place of that there's, you know, it's like, you know, pain is punishment, pleasure is reward, you know, that sort of
that kind of
way of thinking. Yeah.
4 years old.
Yeah.
Life is going my way, then I must be good and I'm being rewarded, and if I'm not getting what I want, it's because I'm bad and I need to be punished.
Yeah.
You know,
and I've also.
Go ahead.
I was just going to see how I've been really able to see more and more clearly how when my body's in a lot of pain, my mind or conditioning really wants to find a target. You know, I want to blame somebody, something, practice, whatever, you know, and that's been really close and up front this last month or so. A lot of feeling of feels like it's anger, but I think when I really sit with it underneath, it's just an incredible vulnerability.
Yes. That you've hit two tonight that I hope you're going to listen to again. The first one I might listen to again, see if I can capture it for a peace quote, because that was so helpful. I did all that preamble and I forgot the point I was going to make to you. So I'll just go to the other one that I want to make. And that is, about the anger, yes. So realizing how the various sensations in the body, when the body feels a particular way, how connected it is to certain thought patterns, and how deeply we believe that those connections are real, and then having an opportunity like the one you're having to see that they don't actually have anything to do with each other, in the same way that, say the first one again, things going well and feeling, remember what you said?
Trusting
that aren't connected.
Trusting yourself and things going well are not connected.
Trusting yourself and things going well are not connected. And the level of sensations in the body and the thought patterns connected to that don't have anything to do with what's actually going on. And that is so deep and so subtle that now this is one of those places where people will roll their eyes and say, oh, Huber. But only in a situation like yours, previous caller, the times when we have a chance to go to places that our whole conditioned life is devoted to us never experiencing, do we get a chance to see what you're seeing in this. Now, the hardest part of it is to realize that what you're seeing is true and to break the connection. Break that connection between this is how I'm feeling, it's producing these angry, want to blame sensations in the body and stories in the mind, and it's not real. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I mean, you know, there's some sensations more than others. There's enormous resistance to just being with sensations.
Yes.
You know, enormous. And that's what I woke up with this morning. It was this set of sensations that was just like, I can't bear this. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't be with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so all the recordings have to be around how heroic it is to face it, the courage that it takes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing, and I do want to make two points here. One is the karma in it. That karmic conditioning would use this as evidence that there's something wrong with you, or certainly that you've done something wrong. But I would suggest that this situation is proof, not that I can prove it, but is proof of the level of awareness that you brought into this lifetime, that you are ready to take on circumstances like this and see through them. Yeah? Because you're not in this situation in ignorance. You're in this situation in conscious awareness. You're not deepening the karmic grooves. You are erasing the karmic grooves. So lots of recordings, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of recordings about that. Gratitude to the person who has the courage to face this. And then the next point that I want to make for you and for everyone, really. So I'm working with someone now who has a physical condition that most of modern medicine says it is X, has this label, and it's because of Y. And it's just absolutely established. And this person dealing with this through awareness practice has realized this most extraordinary thing. And that is that what we're told, if you do this, you will have that result. The reason that that is happening is because of this. And proving over and over and over that that's just not true. It's just not true. That on one day, the person can do A, and there's no effect at all. The next day, the person does A and has a huge physical reaction. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with mental states. You know, maybe it's hormonal. I don't know. But conditioning is so quick to jump in with, well, it's because you did whatever. And that's just not true. And I would venture to say it is never true. Never true. In the way that we all know the stories of the, you know, the guy who drinks a quart of whiskey and smokes five packs of cigarettes a day and lives to be 103.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if that helps anybody to get off of the, get out of the conversation about the reason you feel this way is because you did X, you know, to just realize that that is just karmic conditioning, hogwash. We don't know, we can't know, and we're certainly never going to figure it out through a conversation like that. So let's just get back to compassion.
In a way, like that's happening for me at the moment. I know we're sort of at time, but because it is varying dramatically from one day to another for no obvious reason, it really blows that game to pieces. Like, I used to get fooled into thinking there was a pattern and I could figure it out, but now it's really clear. It's like, I have no control of it. You know?
That's right. That's right. So let's stop saying it's my fault. If I have no control over it, let's stop having the conversation about what I should do differently or what this means or anything else. Let's just have compassion for the human, take care of her the best we can take care of her, and know that we, as you say, we have no control over this or anything else.
Thanks so much, Sherry. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Really, you are so welcome. Yeah, just, huge admiration, huge respect for the courage it takes to get up every day and face those kinds of difficult circumstances. So much admiration.
Thank you.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I heard compassion as a big theme for the show tonight, Sherry.
Yeah. And for this show and these lifetimes, huh?
These lifetimes, yes.
Yeah. All right.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. Talk to you soon.
Good night.
Good night.